Joni, good morning. Thanks for being here.
Good morning, Tom.
Why did you decide to travel all the way to Standing Rock, North Dakota to see what was going on around these protests?
Well, my primary motivation was because of the issues around fracking and water and protection. And I was so proud that there were so many people that were standing up for the rights of nature, for the rights of water, for the rights of our land. And I wanted to support that. And going there as a white person and being witness to what was happening there really changed why I went. And I realized as I was there and witnessing things that the level of civil liberties that were being violated by the police and by the National Guard, and just the way that our government is looking away from what's happening there, gave me this realization about how much Native Americans have been struggling with this forever, for 200 years since we know of, and 500 years since Columbus came and started it. And it was interesting to me because I had been involved in political protests in the past for anti-nuclear work and peace work, and I got arrested. And it was nothing like what's been happening at Standing Rock. I didn't give them my real name. I hung out in a prison with Starhawk, and we were there for 3 days, and we were not in any way abused. I mean, it was not comfortable. We were on cots, and you know the food wasn't great, but it was nothing like what I witnessed. And one of the things I got to do when I was there is be in a morning circle where some of the women who had been arrested talked about what it was like for them. And they actually reported it to the UN delegates. And I got to sit there and listen to what they were saying. And between the two experiences, I saw that, first of all, what the media has been portraying is that these are violent protests because the native people or the water protectors are being violent. And 99% of the water protectors are praying, and they're being pulled out of prayer. And that's how they're getting arrested, and they're being physically abused in the process. And they're stuck in 10 by 12 kennels, and there are like 32 women in one kennel. And some of the women were, one woman was claustrophobic and she was freaking out inside the kennel. Another woman was sick and she was throwing up inside the kennel.
These are things that you saw personally
this
there?
Those are the things that were reported to the UN delegates. And I listened to them as they spoke about them. And another woman had was diabetic, and they refused to give her any insulin. And she said, I have a shot. Will you let me have it? It's in my bag. And they refused to give it to her. So so I was horrified by the level of attack that these water protectors who were praying, primarily praying, were being subjected to.
Describe for us what you saw. I mean, you're describing a lot of different interactions that you had with people, but can you kind of set the scene for us as you drove up to Standing Rock? What did you see? What was the visual experience?
So it was quite beautiful. I mean, I saw so many teepees. I saw all these flags coming down the main drive-in that were all these different tribes, all these different indigenous cultures that had been there, that had flags hanging. I saw this organization that was phenomenal. Like, there was the food tent, there was the where you ate, there was a space where they kept all the supplies. There were little communities of tents and little communities of teepees, and there was a medical tent. There was a tent where they had part of the medical tent. Next to it was where they had herbal teas in case you were sick. There was a media tent. There was a place you could go and plug in your phone, and there was a solar-powered and a wind-powered generator so you could, you know, keep juicing up your phones. That was by the media tent. The indigenous environmental, I think, I can't remember exactly what the name of it is, but they had their own area, but in the media area. So it was very well organized. There was a lot of support. It felt very peaceful and prayerful. And every place that I went, like when I went to these morning meetings or I went to a gathering around the fire, they were always talking about how this was, and it was really important to keep this peaceful and prayerful, and that's what this is about.
Did you have any personal interactions with law enforcement while you were there at all?
I didn't. I was in there in a window between two different actions, and not intentionally, but it's just the way it worked out. What I learned when I was there, because we met some people from Utah who had a tent, a big tent with a wood stove, and so we hung out with them a little bit, and they had said that the day before, when the last action happened, they, over the loudspeaker, because there's a loudspeaker to let you know what's happening, and they have morning prayer every morning at 6 o'clock, and there's an announcement about that. They told us that they called for people to come for an action. So they'll say, you know, we're gonna march to this, and all those that can. And so I knew that if I had been called, I would have gone. But I was just there in between two of those.
I think a lot of us who are here are thinking a lot about what's happening there. And, you know, not everybody can travel up to Standing Rock and take time to be there. How would you encourage people to get involved? Or what would you say that people can do if they do want to, you know, try to be a part of this and stay engaged with what's happening with the Dakota Access Pipeline?
Well, there are two events that are happening tomorrow. Tomorrow is National Standing Rock Awareness Day. And the first event is in Durango. It's at Buckley Park. It's a march from Buckley Park to Wells Fargo. And it is because Wells Fargo is one of the banks that is a primary funder of DAPL, Dakota Access Pipeline. And the second event is in Cortez at St. Barnabas Church, and it will be hopefully a number of Native people who have been at Standing Rock, as well as myself and Jody Powers, who I went to Standing Rock with. And we'll be talking about Standing Rock, and hopefully what I'm hoping is that people gain an awareness of just how oppressive this situation is for Native American people in this country, not just at Standing Rock, but in this country. And so those are two events, and the other things are certainly getting online and looking at the websites for Standing Rock and Sacred Stone, because they offer up all these ideas about how to help. And mostly it's supplies, like warm clothing being coats and down jackets, sweat, not clothes, underlying clothes, but and anything else that they can offer financially to keep this going, because it's at a crucial point right now. Because right now they're going forward and they're talking about going underneath the Missouri River, and that is 18 million people depend on the water from the Missouri River.
Joni, thank you for being here this morning and describing your experience in Standing Rock, North Dakota.
Yeah, thanks, Tom.
That's Joni Tressel. You're listening to KSJD. I'm Tom Yoder.